Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. This is Kathy Williams, and I'm so delighted you're here. Today, we're going to talk about something that is my very favorite subject, and it just continues to deepen and expand. And I have this sense of excitement about sharing it with you, and almost like we're going to be pointing at something that, like, is beyond words. And so I'm like, well, I hope the right words just come in to explain it and help you access it. Because once you access the state or the space of being and recognizing that you are not your story, you have never been your story, you're so much farther and broader and beyond that story, life opens up in miraculous ways. So we're going to talk about using the mirror to access you beyond the you you've identified with. And, you know, I'm no stranger to mirror work, having had a mom who was a psychologist. She had all sorts of books and cassette tapes at the time. That really dates me. At least they weren't records. About, like, positive psychology. So learned optimism and choices and neuro-linguistic programming. And I remember listening to cassettes of Louise Hay and her saying, like, it's really powerful to sit in front of the mirror and affirm and say, I flow effortlessly with life, and I am beautiful, and, you know, all the things. So as a 14-year-old, I would sit in front of the mirror and say, I effortlessly flow with life, and I, you know, I am beautiful, and do affirmations. And those are beautiful and a beautiful practice. And the mirror work we're going to do accesses something so far beyond that, that is truly the ever-present spaciousness that's available in any given moment. Because the you that we're trying to reinforce when we're affirming, you know, I am smart enough, I am beautiful enough, I am, that is an identification. And we're going to go beyond identification into, you know, because all the thoughts in your head come and go, right? The you that we identify with that has a past is, you know, a story in essence. And just bear with me, because I'm going to circle back around. It's a story. The only moment that's real is right now. Okay? You can have real thoughts about your past and what has happened, but that's no longer real. That's just a memory. It's just a story. And based on your perceptions, based on what you think happened. So if we start to come right back into this moment now, sometimes I like to put a hand on my chest, the dominant hand, and then the non-dominant hand on the solar plexus just above the belly button, and, like, sense right now. This moment is the only moment that is. And truly now is the only moment that has ever been. right? Because wherever you are, whenever you are, no matter what time it is, it's always now. And our head, our thoughts, can go to the future. They can go to the past, but those are only ideas that are emerging now. And the mirror is an amazing tool for helping us tap into now and tap into that ever-present awareness that you are beyond your identification of, I am a woman, I am this age, I am a parent or not, I am this profession, right? All of that stuff comes and goes, which means none of it is you. Right? Just like your car. You haven't always had the same car, if you have a car. Well, let's just take it. The pair of shoes that you're wearing, right? That's your favorite pair of shoes. You haven't always had those, right? So it's easy to see, oh, those shoes are not me. Well, you haven't always had the roles that you have now, right? Those roles are not you. A lot of roles we have strong identifications with. I am good at math or not. and those can change, right? Like as a second grader, I thought, geez, I'm shit at math. I probably didn't use that language, but like that changed, right? And anything that changes is not you. Okay. So we'll talk about the mirror practice and accessing that. But the first mantra I'd like to really introduce you to is only now is real. Because it helps us go from this overactive mind of worries and fears and, you know, about the future, hopes even. Not just worries and fears, not just the negative things, the positive expectations too. The desires or regrets, guilt, frustrations, you name it, about the past. Ego exists because of resistance to what is in this present moment. In fact, if you get deep enough into it and you start to look for, well, where is ego? Like right now, where is ego? Just search for it. You start to find that even that only emerges through resisting. Right? There is no spot you can locate ego. It doesn't really exist. Except as a thought, an idea of resisting what is, with either some expectation, some worry, some, you know, or some frustration, some regret, some access of the past. So if at any point, like, I've lost you, feel free to write to me at meetcathywilliams.com. Because, again, this is, like, my favorite conversation. Because once you see this and you tap into what you are, what you actually are beyond any story of you, there's immense freedom. There's immense peace. And a sense of joy that's not because you've accomplished something or because you're eating ice cream or because of some external thing to you. It's just the joy of being, right? It's just the joy of like this beautiful freedom. It's like when we're in nature and we're just relaxed and open. That's the essence of you. And truly of every person on planet Earth. The problem, if there were, to, you know, if we were to say there's a problem is that we don't identify with that. We identify with, I am this limited ego or thing, right? This person who needs to achieve. Because the story is, I'm not enough in some way or another. So ego exists, and its existence is based on fear, fear of losing approval. Approval. So a long time ago, it may have been your parents. Maybe it still is, or it's not. You know, I was working with one client, and she said, well, my mom wouldn't approve of that. And I asked her, well, does your mom live with you? Oh, no, my mom's been dead for 10 years. Oh, well, like, she is still living within the confines of trying to have her mother's approval, even though her mother's been dead for a decade. And we do this, right? And we think it's normal. Maybe it is normal, but it's not like freeing or healthy. Ego has that fear. It's based on fear. It's fear of losing approval of the boss, of the parent, of the child, of the friend, of the neighbor, of the government, of the cops, of whomever, right? Of the client. Is afraid of rejection and is afraid of not being in control. Trying to control situations in order to achieve the outcome that it thinks. We could use the word mind instead of ego if you like. What it thinks will bring it happiness sometime other than now. The only moment is now. Okay. Now, we have lots of stories that that's not true, but have you ever been in any time other than now? Okay. So the mirror practice that I've been doing, and I've been doing it just for about 2 months now, has opened up so much awareness of the knowing of myself beyond this I concept. Because anything that comes and goes, a thought, a feeling, an emotion, a story, anything that rises or falls away cannot be what I am, a role, any of that. A desire, an opinion. None of it is you. So this practice that I've been doing, the mirror practice, for about 2 months, was introduced to me by a man named Jim Drever, and he wrote a book called Untriggerable, in which the practice is described. And I've been working with Jim for several months and uncovering this and having insights and ahas and bouncing ideas off each other. And he said, he told me the story of what really kind of woke him up. And that was that he was feeling depressed. There were several reasons, but one of the big reasons was financing. So feeling depressed. And then the question emerged for him, who is this me that feels depressed? And who is the I that feels depressed, that feels upset, that feels whatever it feels? And he said he looked inside his psyche to look around for it, like, who's the me that feels depressed? And he couldn't find it. And then he had this profound realization that this I, this me he was looking for, this ego character, only existed as a concept. Yet, all our lives, we take ourselves to be this I thought, right? And then collect a history, right? A personal history, an emotional history, a traumatic history, you know, and carry it through our lives. And he said that when he saw that the awareness that was looking for that me that gets depressed was still present, regardless of what arises or what falls. Kind of like the ocean is still present regardless of what waves exist or don't exist. Little waves, big waves, it doesn't matter. The ocean is the constant there. It brought this tremendous sense of freedom because he no longer had a story, that story about, oh no, my money, my finances are so challenging. It was gone. And he landed in the present moment. And here's the thing, the more we can land ourselves in the present moment, just being alert, awake, aware of, yes, thoughts will come and go, that's okay. And sensations may exist. Okay? But the more we land ourselves in the present moment, the more we're awake to whatever wisdom is available in that moment. And from that space, we can make choices. If we're in our head, we've all had this experience of being in our head and the head chatter is loud and fearful. And we work ourselves into overwhelm or into a tizzy, you know, with worry. It's like from that space, it's not a really great place to make a choice that's going to create something amazing. Right? Because the mind is in that anxious loop. And so when we come back, I'm going to explain the mirror practice and some of the awarenesses that emerged for me that have been life-changing. So thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. We'll be back in just a moment. And for now, come back into the now, the only moment there is.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. I'm so grateful you're here. As a listener, you can pop over to meetkathywilliams.com and get 20% off any item in the shop, including videos, energy pulls, even private sessions, by entering the code SMRadio. Also at meetkathywilliams.com, you can download a free Create Your Life exercise and join me for online classes and Hawaii retreats. And if you're stuck, helping you get unstuck is my specialty. I'd love to work with you one-on-one.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. This is Kathy Williams, and I love to hear from you, your ideas for shows, what landed, what questions you have. You can even call into the show if you're listening live on Om Times Radio, IOM.FM. And you can go to my website and receive a free Create Your Life exercise. That's lots of fun. And again, that is meetkathywilliams.com. Also there's a radio page. You can, there are some handouts there from various shows and access to archives. So, there's a lot going on over there, including upcoming classes and a store. And today, until the weekend, there is a sale on healing and forgiving with Ho'oponopono, which is such a life-changing class for people. I get emails and texts all the time after the class, like, oh my gosh, it really helped this relationship with my husband or with my child or, you know, my ex. I finally let him go. And so I just, it's a powerful practice. And there's a hut, a forgiveness hut meditation as a bonus with that Ho'oponopono class. And it's a blessing. So you can find healing and forgiving with Ho'oponopono in the shop over at meetkathywilliams.com. And you don't need a special code. It's just on sale through the weekend. So the mirror practice, like I mentioned, I've been doing this for about 2 months and pretty consistently every day, usually. Well, I was going to say usually once a day, but I love it so much. I sometimes do it twice a day, especially because it's a 10-minute practice. So it's easy to weave in. And the idea is that you sit in front of a mirror. So I have these big sliding glass mirrors that I use, and I sit on the floor and I just look into my eyes. Now, one of the things you can do is kind of imagine that you're behind yourself. So that might be, you've been at a movie theater or a theater and they're behind someone. So you have a little broader perspective than them when you're behind them. Now that is an option. You don't have to do this. I've done it both ways. But that may help you sort of expand your awareness beyond the you as the body, right? Because for so many years, for decades, we've identified and associated with, I am this body, okay? Which is not true. That's as real as I am my car. That's, you know, you're not your car. You know, you're not your pair of shoes. You aren't this body either, but you identify with it. And we're going to use the mirror practice to identify with you as awareness itself. Not I am a being with awareness, but I am awareness. And so you can broadband back, or you can just look, gaze into your eyes. And for me, it works better to look at one eye, like my right eye, and just look into your eyes or eye, and whatever arises. So whatever sensations, whatever memories, whatever thoughts, you just remind yourself, I am not that. Or I am not that story. And things will arise, right? You've probably never been, quote, thoughtless without thought for 10 minutes in a row. So you just say that in your head, not aloud, for every thought, feeling, emotion, memory that comes up. And I like to not, like, don't repeat it as a mantra. Because if you repeat it as a mantra, like, I am not that, I am not that, I am not that, I am not that, it doesn't allow the spaciousness that's available to emerge because your head is still busy. It's kind of like the words in a book require the white page or whatever color, the pages, for the words to emerge. If the words were just all over each other, like the you had a letter N and that's sort of on top of a letter P and, like the words are all on top of each other, then you can't read the what's going on because there's no space. Right. So for each thought, for each sensation, for each memory, for each criticism, I mean, after all, you are looking at yourself in the mirror, and oftentimes there is that. Anything that comes up, I am not that, or I am not that story. Jim likes the mantra, and you could use this as well. Jim Driever likes the mantra, I am not my ego. And if that works for you, use it. Okay, so make this your own. I particularly like I am not that story. Because then it doesn't even make a my story. It's a that story. And as you do this, and it may not happen the first time you sit, although it may, right? A spaciousness starts to emerge, and you start to see, especially because your eyes are open, you're not in some meditative out-of-body experience, you start to see the you beyond this story. And over the past, within the first month of doing this, I started to see in my eyes, my own eyes, that thing that took me to India to go to Ramana Maharishi's ashram. So Ramana Maharishi was this young, he was 16 years old, Indian boy. And he started to wonder, who am I? And that was his question. Who am I? Who am I really? And he had an experience that catapulted him into the realization of what he truly is, which is awareness. That may not be the word he used, but awareness is what we are. And so what is in his eyes, which took me to India, is this beautiful, radiant glow. My yoga teacher I worked with for a long, long time, Gary Crafto, who teaches all around the world, calls it love goo, right? There's just this radiant, effusive presence that draws you in. I mean, that took me to India. Like, I want some of what he's got. And through the practice of sitting in the mirror, in front of the mirror, this began to emerge for me. And in knowing of myself beyond the I story of Kathy, the story of like, oh, this bad thing happened to me, or even this amazing thing happened to me, right? This I am not that story draws you back into this moment now. Because we love the mind, the ego exists only because of some story that it exists. Okay. The identification of the roles, of the have to, of the proving, of the past, like this whole collection of past experiences, the ego can't exist without that. So, or it defends for that a lot. Let's say it that way. And the more you awaken to you as awareness in the present moment, the more you realize that that's like what you're here on the planet for. To awaken. We are consciousness itself. And we're like, how do you point at this? How do you explain this? It's like you are not an individuated thing that has to fend for itself and figure life out. You are the wave on the ocean, and the ocean's got you, right? And the more you recognize, oh, I am the ocean. I don't have to figure out the future. I don't have to make reparations for the past, unless that is like what spontaneously arises from inspiration as the action to take. It doesn't arise because of guilt. Okay. We're letting go of all the shoulds and shouldn'ts. Now, that doesn't mean as you do this practice that this will emerge like and permeate every area of your life instantly, although many people have had that kind of instant awakening. But what it does mean is that the awareness of the deeply relaxed, peaceful presence that you are naturally will spontaneously emerge in more and more areas of your life, right? Like you're able to, I love the word settle, but I don't mean like in a bad way. I mean like sort of to settle into this moment, to soften into life itself without resisting life, which allows you almost to be in a way carried by the flow of wisdom that's ever available. And of course, there will be moments where like you're triggered again, right? and it's funny because the more like the sense of peace pervades your life, the more the trigger feels like so on home, right? You're at home more and more of the time, and home is being here now and trusting life itself and taking action from inspired action from knowing. And then when something does trigger you, it feels like so bad because you're not home for the moment, right? It's like you are in this warm, cozy environment and someone puts an ice cube on your low back and you're like, whoa, right? And so that's where we get to start to actually appreciate the trigger, because it's showing you where you're not free, right? It's showing you what you get to look at and unwind so that you can be free of it. And it's funny how those things show up, right? Like I posted some post on Facebook, and, you know, I knew it was going to receive judgment, and that wasn't a big deal. But then when someone was trying to facilitate me around it, and I didn't ask for facilitation, and, you know, it really got me. I got to look at, like, oh, interesting, Kathy. So you're not free there, right? What is this about it? And so you come, it's almost like then you get to love, you get to embrace that part of you, knowing that you are awareness, but sort of bring a loving energy to that unhealed part that still gets knocked out of being, or being at what I was referring to, home. Okay. When you're at home in you, right, the larger you, in fact, not like this personally identified you, but the larger you, it's so refreshing. It's so harmonious. And then you get to look at where, oh, something triggered me. Something knocked me out of that. But that thing doesn't actually have, I mean, I'm the one giving that person, that experience, that comment, that whatever, I'm the one infusing that with power. Which means I get to unhook from that, well, thank it for showing me where I'm not free yet. So I can use that as a catalyst for even more freedom. And if this doesn't make sense, if you have questions about it, please feel free to write to me at meetcathywilliams.com. Just hop on over to the site and there's a form you can fill out, because it's a huge gift to be able to love your triggers. And yeah, I'd love to help you love them. So we're going to be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. Again, this is one of my truly favorite topics. And hop on over to the store on my website to pick up that.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. I'm so grateful you're here. As a listener, you can pop over to meetcathywilliams.com and get 20% off any item in the shop, including videos, energy pulls, even private sessions, by entering the code SMRADIO. Also at meetcathywilliams.com, you can download a free Create Your Life exercise and join me for online classes and Hawaii retreats. And if you're stuck, helping you get unstuck is my specialty. I'd love to work with you one-on-one.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. I'm delighted you're here. It's Kathy Williams. And I want to invite you to, if you haven't already, hop on over to meetkathywilliams.com. You can get your free Create Your Life energy pull. And also, one of my favorite places to be is YouTube. I have little shorter videos. I actually have a shorter video on this mirror practice. I talk about another really powerful practice that I like to do that helps open up space. In fact, let's direct our attention right now to what is listening. And I have a shorter video on this on YouTube, and in case you just want to access that practice, and that is Kathy Williams Public Figure on YouTube. So, what is listening, right? As you start to become aware of the listener, right? Instead of so much my words, of course, you're still aware of my words. You're just listening for what is listening, or directing your awareness back at the listener. Okay. Now, I hesitate to actually say the listener because in yoga, a lot of times it's talked about like be the witness or witness your experience. And one of the ahas that has opened up for me this year has been that there actually is no witness, right? Me looking for a witness is looking for something that doesn't actually exist. Just kind of like when you say, oh, who is the I that is agitated? Who is the me that is frustrated with my child? And you start to look for that. You realize that me is only an idea that arises and falls. It comes and goes. It's that you can't find it through searching. So I was always looking for the witness. Like, I know it's beyond the small me, and I'm looking for the witness. And I had this aha, and it's been confirmed by some very awake people, that there is no witness. There is no listener. There is only witnessing. There is only listening. It is an ing. It's an ing. It's not an entity, a being. Okay? It's awareness. Aware of itself. There is no entity to look for, right? You can look. You can look for an entity, but there isn't one. It's just listening. Just witnessing. We're witnessing the thoughts. We're witnessing the sensations in our bodies. We're witnessing the perceptions, the sounds, the sights. We're witnessing. Awareness. Aware of itself. Awareness, even aware of the idea of I, right? Even that deep-rooted sense of, quote, self, sense of identity comes and goes. that you are the awareness that's aware of that. Always present, always available, here. Now. So we talked about there is only now. Well, there is also only here. And that's a larger conversation too. So the most important part of this practice is really when we find ourselves getting sucked out of the present moment, to come back. I'm not that. I'm not anything that comes and goes. Anything that arises or falls away is not me. I'm the spaciousness in which it does arise and fall. I used the analogy sort of a page with words on it earlier. An analogy or a metaphor that Rupert Spira uses, and he's a beautiful non-dual teacher. You can find his videos on YouTube. So much peace in his presence. An analogy that he uses a lot is, well, let's say you're even watching me on YouTube, right? Or watching a movie on a screen. You could say I'm watching a show. I'm watching a movie. But really, everything arises and falls on that screen. So we can identify with, oh, well, this is sad. Right? This is a sad movie, or this is a dramatic movie, or whatever it is, right? We can, or this is a happy person I'm watching. Really, none of it could arise or be present without the screen itself. Like if we take away the screen, nothing exists. None of it can exist. But the same thing is true. If you took away awareness, okay, is there any experience you've had in your life where awareness was not present? Awareness is present in every moment, wherever you are. And so that's like the screen for the movie to occur, for the show to occur, for you to do anything on the computer, the screen is present. And the screen doesn't say, oh, these characters in the movie are sad. That's a bad thing. Oh, this character in the movie is depressed or has gone bankrupt or murdered someone. The screen never says like, well, that's bad. It simply enables all of it to occur, which is the same thing as consciousness. Consciousness allows all of it. Consciousness doesn't say, this person is bad, they cheated on their wife. It doesn't say, this person is bad, they lied, right? No, or this person is more entitled and greater. Consciousness doesn't do that, just like the screen doesn't do it for the players in the movie. It simply allows all of it to arise. Why? Because it's fun? It's experience? Who knows, right? It is all of it. And so when you're watching the screen, whether it's a computer or a TV or a movie theater, like you're watching the screen too. An analogy I really like as well is kind of like a painting, right? Like if you look at the painting, one person is going to see, oh, that man looks angry, or the sailboat looks like it's in trouble. The waves are big. The sailboat looks like it's getting blown over. One person is going to say, well, that looks like a good painting, right? It's made by a well-known artist. And then, so those are interpretations about what's arising. But when you look closer, it's all paint, right? It's all the same thing, whether it's red paint or blue paint or you know, dusty rose paint or the beautiful ocean with all the different colors. It's all still paint, right? And from this paint, the same paint, all sorts of different paintings could have emerged. And so as I was thinking the other day, a lot of the things we do, the programs we buy, the personal growth we do, I have done it for years and years and years, like self-improvement books, positive psychology, whatever it is, it's designed to move the paint around. But once you realize to like make the painting look better, as though the painting is not good enough. But once you realize I am the paint, and consciousness itself is the paint and the painter, there's no need to fix the paint and make it better, right? So a lot of the things we do to try to make our personality better, to develop confidence, right? To make ourselves stop procrastinating, to develop better habits, like all of those superimposed things on top of the mind become completely irrelevant. Because you're identifying no longer with this flawed thing. You're identifying with you as what you truly are, which doesn't need improvement. That's superimposed by the mind. If the mind thinks, I need to be better, I need to get smarter, I'm not smart enough, I need to fix this thing about me. And the screen doesn't think so, right? You are awareness itself. And as you tap into that more and more, the superimposed need to get better, to do better, to achieve more drops away. And from that space of being, you're more connected to the essence of you. And the actions you take bear amazing fruit that you never would have conceived of from the mind. There's not a need anymore to micromanage, to fix. Now, that doesn't mean you won't take action, because desire still exists. People think, oh, well, if I'm in the now, like, how am I ever going to do anything? Well, when you have to go to the bathroom, you'll go to the bathroom. When you feel inspired to paint a painting or to call somebody or to write, you'll do it. Right? When you feel that your body is hungry, you'll eat, right? These things don't go away, right? But it's not from some mental idea of this is what I should be doing, right? And so, like I said, I'm not there 100% of the time. But more and more, as I get in touch with the fact that I am awareness itself, I don't have awareness. I am awareness. More and more action arises from this space of being, and it's magical. So my true hope is that you'll embrace this practice of looking in the mirror for 10 minutes. Everything that arises, you say, I'm not that story, or I'm not my ego, or I'm not that. See what shows up. And then message me and let me know. I would love to hear. Because it's been super profound for me. And the more we all wake up, the more harmony we have on planet Earth. So, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Come visit me on YouTube. Meet Kathy Williams. Oh, no. It's Kathy Williams, public figure. I'll be back here on IOM.FM in 2 weeks. And if you can't wait that long, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, subscribe there, and iHeartRadio as well. Thanks a bunch. And aloha.